Welcome to Leverage Podcast, and today we're talking about social circles. And I'm guessing that's an exciting topic since we have a pretty good turnout for the call today. So hopefully we can narrow down some good stuff of value for you guys. Let me tell you my story real quickly about, you know, how I kind of first got into this whole area of my life, improving with girls and trying to find a social circle that brought me more girls, brought me the type of people I wanted to hang out with. And first off, I mean, why is it important to have a social circle? We can cover that, even though it's pretty obvious. Well, your social circle will lead to more opportunities in your life than just about anything. And for, you know, we call it a social circle, but we're really just saying your friends, the people you spend the most time with. Have you guys heard the quote, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future"? Or if you surround yourself with 9 people who do X, Y, Z, you'll become the 10th, right? So if your social circle or if the people you spend the most time with are all in good shape, make good money, do well with chicks, are cool, down-to-earth people, fun to hang out with, then you'll become just like them. Your social circle will pull you along in the direction that you want to go in. If your social circle are a bunch of fat losers who are broke and suck with girls, well, guess what? You'll quickly follow suit and you'll become just like them too. Because misery loves company. All those things you heard, all those fucking cliches, they're all real. And the tough thing about moving into a new social circle is you essentially have to become a different person to attract different sorts of people. You got to say no to your current group. And how it kind of happened for me was I had a social circle that I still have down in San Diego. Really good group of guys. We all played on the golf team together. And, you know, they like to drink. I like to drink. We'd party. We'd go out and basically just get really fucked up. And then after drinking all night, and not hitting on any girls, we would then go and crush burritos at various Mexican restaurants in San Diego. So this quickly led to most of us being a little bit overweight. Most of the guys had like long-term, you know, monogamous girlfriends. And that was kind of my lifestyle too. I would meet a girl, kind of like wifey her up, not for any other reason than I wanted sex and I wasn't getting it enough elsewhere. So why not get a girlfriend and get consistent sex, right? That was kind of my, and I call that forced monogamy. It's, you have no other options. So you find a girl who wants to fuck you and you date her for that reason. And that sucks. I feel like every guy should experience the other stages that are better than forced monogamy, which is actively single, and then open relationships, and then anything, you know, where you want to go from there. The healthiest way to get into a relationship is to go from actively single into a relationship of your choice, because you're consistently hooking up with a lot of girls and you choose the best one and you want to be in that relationship. But if none of your other friends do that, then guess what? You're probably not going to do that either. If none of your friends are making money with passive income streams, you're probably not going to do that either. If none of your friends are entrepreneurs and you want to be an entrepreneur, you're probably not going to do that either. So in reality, the biggest value that all of you on this call have, or the biggest value that you guys get from the group, is the social circle aspect of it. By far and away, if back in the day when I got into this stuff in 2006, if I could have paid $350 a month to be a part of a group like this, I would have fucking done it in a heartbeat. In fact, I would have paid $1,000. I would have paid probably $2,000, because that's basically what I was spending per month on stupid workshops. And I was only taking the workshops for the social circle aspect of it. And I quickly ran that amount of money invested up to about $82,000, which was a lot of my poker winnings and a lot of the money I was making at my job right out of college. So social circles can be expensive. But, you know, you guys are all plugged in to a pretty retardedly sick social circle by being members of the Leverage Group. I mean, we've got owners, we've got super successful business owners, guys in all walks of life. You know, it's very hard to to be a member of this group and not be able to get value. And the guys who utilize the network the best, and the way to do that is to meet other members in person, you know, come on different workshops we have, come on the Euro trip, come on the Brazil trip. You'll meet the other guys and you'll be able to form really, really positive relationships from that, whether that be investing in Airbnbs together or staying on each other's, you know, extra bedroom or couch when you travel. There's a million reasons. So I don't really need to go into that, but you guys already have a sick social circle just by being part of this group. So I really urge you guys to use it more. Like, for those of you that have been in this group and you're just lurking and you're never like coming to any of the workshops, you're never meeting anyone face to face, you're basically pissing away opportunity left and right. And if you were standing in front of me, I would piss on you instead. At least I'd try, and you'd probably dodge and duck, and Wiley would piss on you. So one of us would get you. So stop fucking that up. All right. Now back to my story. When I first started getting into all this game and pickup shit, my current group of friends thought it was weird, which they should, because it was weird. And as I spent more and more time going out and picking up girls and spending all my time, like, you know, doing that, they didn't really want to hang out with me anymore because they weren't interested in that. A lot of them had girlfriends, or they didn't have that drive. So I stopped hanging out with them, on like the Friday and Saturday nights, and I started hanging out with other pickup guys. Now, the problem with hanging out with other pickup guys is they're usually socially retarded, which these guys were, and I didn't realize that because I had no awareness and I had no pattern recognition when it came to which guys were good or bad. And the cool thing was my social circle of dudes in San Diego from the golf team were all cool dudes, and they're still cool dudes, and I still have that social circle today. But they just weren't interested in pickup, and that was my like main focus at the time. So that's who I started hanging out with more. And that's why I was taking all these boot camps and doing all that stuff, like I mentioned. But I quickly realized, well, maybe not quickly, but after, I don't know, maybe a year to 2 years, I realized that most of these guys were weird. So I had to drop that social circle too. And it was around that time when I met Jesse through a friend of a friend. And the cool thing about Jesse is he's a connector. And in most social circles, you'll find that there's one or two people that are kind of like, they play the role of connector. Connectors have a ton of friends or acquaintances, and it's just very natural for them to introduce people to one another. It's not natural for everyone. I'm not really a connector. People have different roles, right? But in almost every social circle, if you look at them, there's one person that's kind of like the hub of that social circle. So for me, that was Jesse, and I met a gazillion people through Jesse. And those people can be super valuable. So one of the kind of misnomers when it comes to building a social circle is that you need to make a ton of friends. Actually, you don't. If you make friends with the right person, they can lead you to a ton of people. For example, when I was in Eastern Europe this summer, I met a dude named Alex. Some of you guys were with me on that trip, Sherbon, Cameron. I think you guys were out with me that night when we were at the Fancy Room, a drug den after party at like 6 a.m. when I met Alex. And he in turn introduced me to like five or six other dudes that were really awesome guys, some guys from Berlin, a dude from Belgrade, Serbia, who I went down and spent time with, other guys in Kiev who I spent time with. And that essentially like made my summer. If it wasn't for meeting Alex and for the people he connected me with, it would have been a lot different experience. I would have been a lot more on my own, but I had a pretty solid social circle set up, and it's still in place. You know, when we go back there this summer, we'll see Eddie in Belgrade, we'll see Alex and Igor in Kiev, we'll see Dennis in Odessa. So, you know, we have like boots on the ground in all those places. So usually a social circle will have a common theme or a common interest, not usually, pretty much always. And for example, this group, the common interest is women, right? Almost everyone who joins this group joins because they want to improve their skills with women. They want to meet a better partner. You know, they want to do X, Y, Z. And then if you integrate yourself and immerse yourself in the social circle, you'll realize that there's tons of other opportunities out there, like passive income investing and Airbnb and social sharing apps, all that stuff, right? So every social circle kind of has its spin-offs as well. So for me, for example, I have a golf social circle. I have a poker social circle. I have the leverage group. I've got my high school social circle, friends from high school. I've got my college social circle that are mostly guys from the golf team, as I mentioned. If I go back to like, oh, I have my hockey social circle, guys I play hockey with, right? And it's the same goes for girls. I mean, we can ask Carly. You have different social circles for different things, right? Mm-hmm. What do you have?
Like work, like model social circle. You guys that I go out with a lot and hang out with during like weekends and nighttime. Like home social circle.
Yeah.
Every city, everything's different.
So the more social circles you have, the better. And most people I know that have a really, you know, successful social life and a lot of opportunities in life have many different social circles. And sometimes you want to merge those and sometimes you don't, right? Some people are more polarizing and some people are easier to get along with, right? Like, I'm not really going to invite the guys I play hockey with out with the guys I like to go out with when it comes to partying, because the hockey guys aren't interested in that. Most of them are married, they have kids, they don't want to party. Or if I do invite them out, they're going to drag me down. They're not going to understand partying and economics. If I invite them out to a club and I ask them to pay for a bottle, they're going to think I'm a dick, right? So why would I do that? So you have to understand that you don't want to necessarily merge these groups together. And another thing that you'll find is some social circles are, you know, if it's a partying social circle, then you might feel left out if you don't partake in the amount of partying that they do. So if someone asks a question like, why did I always feel left out of social circles when I was in college? And I asked them, did you drink? Did you party? Did you, you know, engage in recreational drugs? And he said, no. I'm like, well, did those people that were in the social circle do that? And he said, yes. I'm like, well, there you go. So for example, if you go out to a nightclub like Warwick or Hyde or Oak and you're dead sober, you're probably not going to have any fun in that environment. Why? Because it's a fast environment. It's loud. Most people are on drugs or super intoxicated on booze. And why would you want to connect with people when you're not on that wavelength, right? So don't feel like there's something wrong with you. Just realize that you're not in the same mental state. Like if you meet a bunch of guys who are good at golf and you suck, you're not going to get into that social circle. You meet a bunch of guys who are really good with chicks and you suck, you're not going to get into that social circle unless you provide some sort of value. And that's another plug for leverage, obviously, because some of you guys who are at a lesser level, you have access to hanging out with the guys who are better and you learn from them. So creating social circles, getting into social circles. Well, first off, you need to look for, you know, people that have something and that you want in life. Right? You need to identify that group and you need to offer that group value. One way that you can offer any group who is interested in partying value, and the easiest way, which we talk about all the time, is offer a resource that is scarce. So beautiful women, that's a scarce resource. So if you want to meet guys who party and you don't want to pay for partying anymore, like promoters, befriend a bunch of cute girls and bring them out with you, and you'll be, you know, the object of every promoter's eye, or the apple of their eye, and the girls too. Exactly. That is the best way to build a social circle for partying. If you want to build a social circle for business, then you need to be able to provide some sort of, you know, value when it comes to whatever business you're in. Or like, for example, there's a syndicate of people in the social skills, dating, seduction community, where they all basically share resources and promote each other's products, and that leads to everyone making more money. So when I first heard about that, I wanted to be part of that syndicate. And I thought, well, how can I offer value to them? And then I realized, well, if I have a podcast and I invite them on as guests, that's one way that, you know, they can get their name out there and spread content, and I'll be likely able to go on one of their podcasts. Yes, or get access to their list and find more people who are of the right mindset to join Leverage. So you need to find your value proposition and offer that. That's how to become, you know, integrated with that group. That's kind of like the keys to the kingdom right there. Trying to see if there's any other questions. How do you provide value to males if you don't have girls or you stuck with girls? You could provide alcohol. You could provide a place to party, like a house for an after party.
I mean, you could teach them anything. Like,
you could provide value in different ways, for example.
They like to work out and they want to get in shape, offer them some training sessions, you know, or like,
yeah,
if they need to help with their taxes, you can help them out. And then, you know, you become friends like that. Like, you get anything you can help them with that they can't or that they don't know how to do, then that automatically, that's a connection trigger anyway. That, is anyone doing the connection trigger?
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Awesome.
So, yeah, lots of good ideas there. You could, you know, if we brainstorm a little, we could probably think of ways to befriend groups of girls by offering them something and partying with them, trying to think. Like, so Carly, let's brainstorm. You have a group of friends, and you guys all do something together. Maybe you're all models, okay? What is something that everyone has in common that you guys need? Oh, photography, right?
Yeah.
So photographer, that would be a great way to, like, you know, do headshots for free and befriend girls that way and then develop some rapport and then you can party with them.
If you're going to do that, we should talk first because you don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, let me take pictures of you.
Right.
Like that's just...
And there's certainly a right and wrong way to do all this.
Food. Girls love food.
Okay.
Unless you're going to the club, but you don't want to bring like a cake to the club.
No. We're talking about social circles of girls and how to insert yourself into that social circle.
Well, have a nice house and have dinner there and invite your friends with girls.
Yeah, you could be the one throwing the dinner party. What other social circle or what other groups? Usually you can tell because there's some activity that they all have in common, like models. They all model.
Or like a sport. Or
right?
Something.
Yeah. So let's say it's like the UCLA volleyball team. You want to befriend them. Maybe you host, I mean, this is getting kind of micro, but you host a volleyball tournament at the beach or something.
It all has to be micro because it depends on what you're good at. Like if you're good at cooking, you can host a dinner party. Anything that you do that's special about you, then that's what you can offer.
And that's a great point. So you leverage your strengths, right? So whatever you're really good at, you find a way to make that relevant to the group of people you want to be with.
Okay, I think honestly the best things are to be the host, have like a party or like, you know, any themed party or like.
But you have to have a social circle to do that. I mean,
no, you invite people and tell them to bring people.
I mean, that's all good.
Or you meet girls on the street. Yo, I'm having a dinner party tonight.
Yeah, here's a simple answer: fucking day game, guys. If you don't have girls, Robert. Fucking day game.
But invite them to do something fun and don't hit on them. Like,
what I did, especially since I kind of sucked in the beginning, is I got friend zoned a lot. So I just went out with my chick friends, and half of them were married, and they would go out like girls' night out, and then they would just invite me because I was like safe. So, and of course, they all have slutty friends. So then eventually, when they like you and you keep going out with them, they introduce you to all their other chick friends that they know because you're cool. And eventually, when you get better, you can parlay that into vagina. But, I mean, people would invite me everywhere because they knew that I rolled with a posse of girls. And even when half of them were married, I would just be like, hey, make sure that, you know, like they're all kind of hookers, the ones that I hung out with anyway. But I would just like, take off your ring or, you know, make sure you bring a couple of slutty friends with you or whatever. And then it would just, you know, and then they did all the work. But I went out with married chicks or got girls with boyfriends or whatever. Just don't say anything. As long as they have fake boobs, nobody cares. And they're flirty. But...
Yeah, nice. Thanks for.
And I go to girls and out still all the time with and even with chicks I work with. It's like, you know, oh, you work with him? He knows you're married? Cool. You know, if you meet the husband or whatever, then usually they're all right with it. Or they just don't tell him. But that's what I always used to do. And it was funny because people were like, well, who the fuck wants to go to girls' night out? And I'm like, me, because I get everything for free. I drink all night for free. and I'm sitting around with nine girls with fake boobs. It's awesome.
You're in a squad of Mary girls, but that does pay off. I know from reading Gary's stories. So totally. Why not? Here's if you guys are struggling to make girlfriends, okay? That's not because you're going about this wrong. That's because you are awkward or you're slightly creepy. And the answer to that is actually day game. You need to be comfortable around people. You need to get good reactions more often than you get bad reactions. And if you're not comfortable around people, it means you need to do a shitload of approaches. And fucking Sergebro chiming in with the day game. Well, yeah, you fucking bitch. You don't day game enough. And that's why you don't have any girlfriends, because you're still awkward. So had to call you out there, Sergio. You put yourself, Sergebro loves to put himself on the fucking chopping block with his Sergebro comments. So yes, more day game. I mean, you were doing it for a while and then you stopped, but that's a different conversation. But literally, if you're not making a lot of girlfriends, then you need to do things to get past the awkwardness, any sort of neediness, any sort of social skill stuff. And the answer is a lot of day game. And then obviously get feedback on why you're coming across as someone who doesn't demonstrate a lot of value. So you can come to the Why You Suck workshop too. So let's take other specific examples from you guys. Who wants to go on the hot seat? Who wants me to pick on them?
Robbie, you can pick on me if you want.
Okay.
Jason.
All right. So Jason, you've got a few different social circles. You've got the leverage group. And you have, what else do you got? You got your Seattle fan social circle. What else?
Out here, not that much actually. But I have like a couple friends probably.
You got some, right?
Yeah, it's mostly leverage slash my entire life at this point.
So Jason's really good at befriending girls because he's safe. I think you could meet more girls. Do you know any way that you could meet more girls?
I definitely need to be approaching more, and when I go out to on every other week that I go out to clubs now, apparently I can definitely meet girls that way. Befriend both girls and guys. So,
well, here's the tricky thing about approaching, right? Like if you're doing day game approaching, if you go indirect, like you can do that, but you're just not likely to get a lot out of that, right? Like if I walk to a girl at a bookstore and I'm just like, hey, what are you reading? Like she's going to think I'm hitting on her. So I might as well just be direct anyways. But if for some reason there's some sort of situational comment I can make, like, oh, that's a good book, or oh, that book sucks, right? And then we get in a conversation about reading and whatnot. And I could even throw out, be like, oh yeah, like, you know, you seem cool. We should totally hang out. Like I promise I'm not hitting on you. I have a girlfriend. You know, you could even throw out that disclaimer if you want to like make girlfriends. But it's tough to make that strong connection during like a day game approach, just because if, you know, unless you're going direct, there's not a huge benefit to making that connection, right? Like if I hit on a girl and she likes me and I like her, now it gives us a really strong reason to talk and to continue that relationship. But if I just start talking to a girl about the thing that she's doing, odds are it's not going to be like her passion in life to really like form a connection there. So day game is great for getting dates and it's great for improving your skills. It's not great for building a social circle. Night game is much better, because at a bar, it's easy to just like start shooting the shit with someone next to you, and you can end up meeting really cool guys that way and really cool girls. I mean, we met Donald at Employees Only. We met Jonathan Gass at a bar in New York. It used to be called Kingswood, right? So you can meet cool dudes at bars, which will lead to better social circles and more guys. But Jason, you can certainly leverage the cooking thing, I feel like, which you already do, right? You have parties but the thing is, which I wanted to talk to you about too, which I'm glad you nominated yourself. I feel like you could do a much better job at befriending girls. I feel like you're worried about falling in the friend zone, so you like pull back. But what's happening is you're not banging them or befriending them. At least if you're befriending them, you can bang their friends, right? But that's not happening. Do you understand why that's happening, or do you know why you're doing that?
I'm not intending to pull back on purpose, I guess, but no. I'm going to go with no.
I think you mentioned it to Carly in a long text message with her.
Oh, yeah. I'm not very good at, well, there's two, I actually mentioned about a lot of stuff, so, but, I think there's probably two kind of things that I was, focused on. One was that, I'm trying to remember exactly what I said, but, one was that I don't really open up emotionally to pretty much anybody. So I think that's definitely hard to bond with anybody if there's no emotional connection there. So that's one. And two, the other thing was that I think, like, this stems back from, like, when we first started working together, but I know that, like, a long time ago, I was oftentimes considered too feminine when I would be, like, trying to bond with people. So I was kind of avoiding that just not to seem like the gay BFF, right? So I think from that perspective, I've try to actively not be too, I guess, friendly. I don't know what the right way to describe it, but yeah.
Okay, so bonding with people emotionally has nothing to do with being feminine. I think you got confused about that. An emotional connection isn't masculine or feminine.
Yeah, I don't think that's what I exactly. I mean, that's why I said there's two kind of things, right? So definitely connecting with people just in general is something, at least being like, from that perspective, is definitely something I haven't done very well in general with guys, girls, or anybody like that. Right. But then there was, I do know that, like, oftentimes I think I would try to, I don't know. I mean, you knew me when I was like, you know, 8 years ago, I was pretty gay. So, yeah. So like that's, so I think like in trying not to be gay, I just kind of like shut off everything completely basically. So I was just like, you know, trying to stay safe so I wouldn't come off as gay. And therefore I didn't even really talk to people about any non-safe topics or anything like that. It was just a way to try not to be
gay. The gay thing has nothing to do with the topic, right? It just has to do with your mannerisms and how you present yourself. So
yep.
I think that's where you got screwed up by thinking like, oh, if I talk about this, I'll sound gay. But not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then there's other things that you do that stop that connection from happening, which is like talking too much or getting too excited about certain things. But
I usually have problems if I have something. If I have like a common interest with somebody in time, I can usually become friends with them. That's like not usually a big deal. It's how to make those that bond happen early on. Like if you meet somebody at a club or at an after party or like at a barbecue, like that was on the Sunday, how do I then go from that to hanging out with them again? You know, like, and like there's,
well, you do a lot of, you find out what's important in their life. And you offer them value in that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you meet Jenny, who's a, you know, party whore at an after party, and that's all you know about her, but if you're like, yo, Jenny, when you're not partying, like, what are you really into? And she's like, oh, I'm really into cooking and stuff. You're like, oh, I'm a fucking bomb chef. Let me teach you some cool shit. Or let me show you something, or you give some sort of value in the area that they love, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm missing the asking them, what do they do when they're not partying?
Yeah. So, guys have to get better at, you know, finding out people's hopes, dreams, and interests. If you can do that, you can befriend anyone. As long as you have something valuable to offer.
Makes sense.
If you're really well-rounded, you'll have something in pretty much every category. So, for me, it's usually, I'll ask most girls, like, you know, about their living situation, and I'll talk about Airbnb. It'll be travel, and I'll give them places to travel to. Those are two big examples.
I mean, right then and there, those are two that everyone in the group can use.
All right. If there's no more questions, we will end it here. Thanks for being on the call, guys. Talk to you soon.